Excuse me. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and it can be found on page 889 in your pew Bible. The Coming Messenger. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old as in former years. And the New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and it can be found on page 60. The Proclamation of John the Baptist. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the regions of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysianthus ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John of Zechariah in the wilderness. Excuse me. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the word of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. There are a lot of details that one would wonder why it's all that important. You know, there are people out there that challenge that Jesus Christ even really existed, that he was kind of like made up. Sadly, there are people as educated who say, well, there's no historical record. That's why the scriptures give you detail of who was ruling when and where. Now, whether or not you can pronounce the names is immaterial. The fact remains that Jesus Christ did come, that John the Baptist was here, that we can have, as we lit our Advent candle last week, for hope. This world needs hope. There are a few nodding heads. You've probably seen a few circumstances either in the news or even in a family circumstances, certainly for the farmer family and the lost and others. But what's really important here is what John the Baptist's ministry was going to be, and that we understand that. And Luke tells us in this third chapter, first, it's this proclamation of John the Baptist. Now, we know John the Baptist is the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, and he's a miracle baby himself. I mean, again, an old age like Sarah and Abraham, and they have a son. And Zechariah doesn't say anything for nine months. Why? Because he didn't trust. So he doesn't say anything until it comes to the naming of his baby, who is going to be John. And John's the first human that actually responds to the presence of the Savior other than Jesus Christ. when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, who is with child, John, and when Mary comes into Elizabeth's house, what happens? This baby in her womb leaps, or kicks her, probably is. I mean, we know it as it's written in the scriptures that he leaps, but usually mom knows that as a whoop.
I don't have to distort it by making it louder. I'm actually back in the pulpit, so anybody, don't fall down as you're listening to this at home on the church website. So, the sermon is about your preparations. You know, we make preparations. How many of you have bought salt to put on the icy sidewalks? You guys got a bag of salt in your someplace in your house? Well, if you don't have one, you're not fully prepared. Go get one, okay? Because there's going to be ice. Duh. Moisture, temperature, natural course of events. And what happens when people walk on ice? They slip and they fall. They usually bruise more than just their ego. So, but that's part of being prepared. Before you make a long trip, what do your car? Check the tires. Check the oil. Maybe even take it in to your most trusted mechanic and have them do a once over, depending on how long the trip is. But you prepare. Well, how do we prepare for Jesus Christ to come again? Well, first off, none of us can do anything to change whether or not he comes soon or later. How quickly he comes. God makes that decision. You and I can't do anything to accelerate his coming. What we can do is do things to get prepared. Just as John is saying as he's preaching to the people at his time, and he's preaching and baptizing a baptism of repentance. Now, the baptism of repentance that John the Baptist is addressing to people is not the baptism that Jesus Christ brings. Because Jesus Christ says you must be baptized by water and spirit. John the Baptist is doing a baptism of repentance. In other words, you are dirty with sin, so we're going to immerse you in the water, and the water is going to make you clean. Well, here's the thing. The only person, you and I don't need to do that because you're already clean. You're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross. Every time we celebrate communion, it's his body that's given, it's blood that's shed. That's in preparation. As we grow up and mature, you know, Sydney and Sierra went through a class in preparation to come and confirm the promise that was made by their parents at their baptism when they were baptized as infants. They come and they make that confession. That's part of being prepared. Now, how in the world can we be prepared for Jesus Christ to come? Well, John Wesley had two ways of doing that. First and foremost, we cannot do anything to earn our salvation. It's already been done. Jesus Christ did that on the cross 2,000 plus years ago. Okay? So everything we do is not to earn that salvation. It's because we are saved. It's the cart before the horse. The horse is the fact that Jesus Christ has already done it. The cart that we're riding in is because he's already saved us. Now we need to do these things so that we're prepared for his kingdom. We're prepared to love one another. Jesus, on that night when he gives himself up, he makes a new commandment. We have the Ten Commandments. He says, I come not to usurp the law, I come to fulfill the law. But he tells those that are there with him, and we do this every time we celebrate communion, we say it again. This new commandment that Jesus Christ gives to all of his disciples, and they in turn give to us. Just like we have the Lord's Prayer, so we have this admonition to do what? To love one another as I have loved you. So there's the mission. That's the commandment. Now, how do you do that? Well, you get prepared. Well, how do you get prepared? There are acts of piety and acts of mercy. Now, those are activities that you and I can do. The acts of piety are the ones that prepare us to do those acts of mercy, to please God. Those acts of piety are getting in the Word. So as we get in the Word, we seek to understand the Word. He is in us, empowering us, leading us, perfecting us, moving us to the point where He wants us to be. Because here's the thing. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, God the Creator, never leaves you where He found you. Praise God. Once you come to the realization that Jesus Christ is in your life and you call Him in, welcome Him in, He's not busting it on the door. He's waiting. He's not forcing His way into your life. He's just waiting. You have opportunities to prepare. You, through those acts of piety, you meditate, you read, you study, you pray. You lift up to the Lord your petitions, your celebrations, your joys. All of those things, what do they do? You know, what does a baker do? What do you think Lee does to a loaf of bread after it's come out of the bowl, after he's put the ingredients together? He sets it off in someplace warm to rise, right? So as it rises, after about 40 minutes, what does he do?
Goes in and kneads it. What? Well, when I make bread, I knead it. That's before I eat it. I knead it so I'm different. But what you're doing is you're preparing for that to rise. When we pray, when we read, when we meditate, those are things that prepare us for the Holy Spirit to start working in us. It's like the yeast rising up and making us bigger and more full of the Holy Spirit. Then there are acts of mercy. The acts of piety prepare us to be in a position or be ready to do those acts of mercy. You know, those kids that are down here. That's an act of mercy that someone goes and gets them and brings them. That's an act of mercy. That's something you do deliberate to extend to other people the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Whether it's at Mezpah or Dockside, whether it's the warming tree or the coat closet or any one of the other ministries that we're part of. When we prepare, do you think we just... Fran just snaps her fingers and all the food's in the pantry, baggaged up, packaged up. I figured Fran was going to jump in at that point. She doesn't have to say anything because she knows it's without having to say anything. We know that those things do not occur without preparations. That's an act of mercy when we're able to welcome people in who don't have the food, and we provide that to them. When people come and out of generosity give to the pastor's discretionary fund, and people call and ask for assistance, when we're able to provide assistance for them, when people see people that, you know, their clothes are a little ratty and someone decides to help them in that, and in love and grace, it's a gift of love to provide someone who doesn't have with something, whether it's a jacket, a coat, a pair of pants, a shirt, a jacket, what have you. Those are acts of mercy. Those things come together to demonstrate that we're on the road to sanctification. We're on this road called sanctification to perfection. We're not there yet. Jesus hasn't come back yet, but we want to be ready when He comes. And how do we get ready? Because we're following His commandment to love one another as He has loved us. Now, the first 10 commandments, we know those are rolled up in when Jesus was challenged. He said, when He was challenged, what's the greatest of the commandments? He said, love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy spirit. And the second, no less than that, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, when we do that, that brings together the acts of mercy and the acts of piety, and it kind of makes us almost this work in progress because none of us are done yet. Jesus has already done our salvation. So don't think you're doing these acts of mercy and acts of piety so that you're going to get saved. Or that you're going to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saved you. Jesus Christ is who's going to make a disciple of you. And it's a disciple of Jesus Christ who follows Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. You and I, in order to be prepared, as John the Baptist was calling out to all those people, say, prepare ye, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. About this time of year, there's this wonderful piece of music called Handel's Messiah. Boy, those words sound so good put to music. But they sound so good because they call out to us across the ages, across time, across cultures, across whatever your upbringing was, to you now. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Write to the center of your heart. Let him write his word on your heart. His word is love through hope and through the peace that we can have when his presence is not just with us, his very name, Emmanuel, God with us, but God in us through that Holy Spirit in our baptism and each and every time we remember that with communion. This is the season of Advent. This is the season when we're expecting and looking for Jesus Christ to come. Like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, trumpet sounds and the clouds part and Jesus descends. It's going to happen. You ready? I gave you a few things that you can do to get prepared. When Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," we have his word. We have him. This is how we prepare. Go and do likewise. Shalom.